This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equip with Chris Brooks. I am so thrilled that you've joined us today. Can you do me a favor? Strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the word to the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And with that, I welcome you into what will be a very interactive edition of Equip, an edition of Equip that I pray will provide help, hope, and healing for your heart. Today, I want to talk about shame. And I'm hoping that today will be a day of freedom for many of us. There are many who live with shame, the shame that comes along with being unable to maybe get over some of your sins and failures of the past, shame that maybe was inflicted upon you, almost like shackles to a prisoner from someone else's words and opinion of you, shame that Jesus wants to free you from. You know, shame drives us into isolation. Shame also short circuits our healing. I love what Charles Spurgeon said about shame. You know, Charles Spurgeon was one of the great preachers from church history. He was in Britain and led a pretty significant church there. But he said this, that there was no shame in the Garden of Eden. Shame, he went on to say, is a direct effect of the fall. Jesus came to conquer our shame. I love that Jesus has come to conquer shame, and he does that by his grace. And so today, I'm going to open up the phone lines because one of the great privileges we have, in addition to having great guests and resources to feature every day on this program, is the ability to come alongside, to be a prayer partner, a friend, and an encourager to you in the journey. So today, I love to be able to do that. We'll pause everything just for the privilege of being able to pray for and with you. Today, God wants you to know freedom. And, you know, maybe your shame has driven you to addiction. Maybe your shame has caused you to withdraw from the church. Maybe your shame has caused you to look in the mirror and feel like, man, I'll never amount to anything. Today, I want you to know freedom. And if today we can pray with you, feel free to call, share your name and how we can pray with you, or even call anonymously if you feel more comfortable that way. But don't let this day go by without experiencing God's grace for you. The phone number is 877-548-3675. That's 877-LIVE-675. I'll give it again, 877-548-3675. Today, I'm so grateful to feature a resource. It's simply entitled Freedom from Shame, subtitled Finding Healing from Your Most Toxic Emotion. It's written by Dr. Gregory Jantz. Dr. Jantz is a friend to the program. He has been on with me several times before. He does amazing work. He's a mental health expert and the founder of The Center, A Place for Hope, which was voted one of the top 10 facilities in the United States for treatment of depression. Dr. Jantz has written 40 books. You've heard him on the program to talk about overcoming anxiety, worry, and fear. He also has written a book that many know him for, and that is How to Deal with Toxic People. Today, we'll talk about his book, Freedom from Shame. Dr. Jantz, how are you today?
I am alive and well, and what an important and really interesting topic we have.
Yeah, we do. Let's talk about it. You have been practicing for 40 years, helping people and counseling, and your work has just been profound and extraordinary. But in the many people, families, individuals that you have worked with, how prevalent is this, what you call toxic emotion of shame? How prevalent is it?
Well, it's amazing when you say 40 years. We are celebrating this year 40 years here at the Center, A Place of Hope. And I have to say, if there's one single issue, now we work with, you know, clients from all over the country. If there's one single issue that is a theme that comes up nearly every time, it's not necessarily the word that a person would use to describe it, but it really ultimately is this word shame. And I know we need to define that, but it's a block. It's a block sometimes to progress or healing. And shame's a liar. It lies about who you really are.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask you that question, and I'm glad that you took us there. What message does shame tell us? Because you say that shame speaks to us, that it tells us a message. What does it say?
Shame tells us that we are ruined, we're broken, we're defective, you never will be happy, you'll never have the relationships that you want, you're going to be a failure forever. So see, shame lies with those kinds of messages.
You know, that causes me to think of the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 8. He opens up that there's therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And I love that he draws a distinction between conviction, which is good, and condemnation, that's bad. I mean, conviction helps me to know when, yeah, I'm not in line with God's best for me, when I have violated God's word, ways, will, standard for living. So conviction is good. It really is a corrective to help me to know you've gotten off track. You're in danger of not being able to receive the blessing of God. So get back on track. But there's a hope that comes along with conviction, that the ship can be righted, if you will. But condemnation is different. Condemnation says there is no hope for you. No matter what you do, there's no hope for you. You make a distinction in your book between guilt and shame. Can you just explain the difference between the two?
Sure. You know, I can feel guilty because I did something that was against my better judgment, or I made a mistake. We're human beings. We all make a mistake. An example could be, I could have said something out of frustration to somebody, and later I regret it. And then I go back to them and say, hey, I'm really sorry. I was inappropriate. Will you please forgive me? Okay, that would be normal and healthy. And that's something that, as a healthy human being, we all have had those experiences. And we need to keep our relationships clean. So, but there's a false guilt, and I'm going to put shame under that, that says everything is your fault. If you would have only been more like your sister, or, you know, you do a lot of comparisons, and you feel the burden that everything really is your fault, and you can become more of a victim or a victim mentality. And then the depression and the anxiety, and, you know, if we have a lot of shame, we may be struggling with some form of addiction.
Wow. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul as you're talking, Dr. Jantz. And again, my guest is Dr. Gregory Jantz. We're going to dive deep today into his book, Freedom from Shame. And we're doing it today. We're praying that you would experience freedom from shame. Maybe it's been short-circuiting your blessings in life. Maybe it's interfered with your relationship with God and even driven you into isolation. If you need prayer today, I want you to call this number, 877-LIVE-675. Maybe you're listening, you're saying, hey, Chris Brooks, Gregory Jantz, you're talking about me. This is exactly what I've been dealing with, or someone you know that's been living with shame. I'd love to pray for them. 877-LIVE-675. I think about the Apostle Paul. He says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 10, for godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. I love that he draws a distinction here to say, hey, every time your heart is grieved, every time you're feeling some sense of conviction, not all of it is from God. He says some of it is good. And you know it's good grief when it leads you to repent and to correct your action But yet you don't have regret. You are grateful that God has shown you the error of your ways, and you go on and you live a life that is full of his grace and goodness. But he says, in contrast, this unhealthy or worldly type of grief, it only leads to death. It's like being put in a prison. And I'm grateful that you you draw that distinction as well. A lot of people are living with a lot of shame. Let's talk about how freedom is experienced. What's your hope for those who read this book?
Well, and you probably have noticed, Chris, it's not a big book.
It's not. It's about 100 pages.
It's a small book. And you know what? Our attention spans have really dropped. And so this is such an important topic. I want to make it get to the point, make it fairly easy to understand, and then with some good action plans. So this is not a heavy read, though the topic is heavy. But this is something you can embrace. And go, okay, this makes sense. I get it. Now, here's what we're seeing in answering your question. Shame, because it's feeling that something's really wrong with me. You may have developed patterns in your life of choosing unhealthy relationships, choosing toxic people, secret addiction. Maybe it's food. Maybe you're binging on food. You're doing things in isolation. When I don't feel good about myself, I tend to isolate. I tend to cut people off. I tend to turn to substances. And one substance could be food. One could be alcohol. I think another one could be digital addiction. You throw yourself into the online social media world, and then you certainly feel worse.
Wow.
Misuse of prescription drugs, maybe gambling, you know, whatever, or sexual addiction.
Now, why do we do that? Why do we throw ourselves into these addictions? We need to talk about that, because I just think there's a lot of people who are listening right now that says, yeah, Dr. Jance, that's me. I've thrown myself into a food addiction, or maybe even a gambling addiction, or whatever the case may be, an online addiction. I want to unpack why we do that and why that actually won't produce the freedom our hearts are looking for. This is an important day. I'm so glad Dr. Gregory Jance has stopped by the program. The phone number 877-548-3675. Get your copy of Freedom from Shame by visiting our website. Ordering information is there. All you gotta do is click on today's program details. There'll be a picture of the book. Click on the book and a link will be there for Freedom from Shame on equipradio.org. We'll be right back. Friends, there's a special event for our monthly partners happening soon. Our next Equipper webinar is this Thursday, April 18th, right after the program. Have you ever wondered how you can be sure that Christianity is true? Or do you wrestle with doubts about your salvation? Can you answer those who struggle with those same concerns? At this webinar, I'll address these topics and take up your questions as well. Equippers, look for an email from me with the registration details for this free interactive webinar. Not an Equipper and want to attend? Well, become a monthly partner by calling 888-644-4144 or online at equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Phone number 877-548-3675. Today we're talking about freedom from shame with America's leading expert on depression, worry, anxiety, and fear. And he's released a book called Freedom from Shame, Find Healing from Your Most Toxic Emotion, Dr. Gregory Jance. Dr. Jance, we're going to go to the phone lines. Folks are calling in from all over the country. But before we go to the phone line, you were talking about addictions that often result from shame, undealt with, unaddressed shame. Why do we do that? Why do we turn to these vices and addictions?
It's subtle. We don't desire necessarily to become an addict, but we're tired of how we're feeling. And we want, I use the word mood modulate. We want to change how we're feeling, and we're tired of feeling bad. And so maybe that alcohol gives you a very short-term euphoria that, like, oh, okay, and you feel different. Maybe any addiction initially, you go, oh, I feel so much better. And that's the lie of the addiction, because it will get you in its stronghold and take you where you really never wanted to go. And that's the nature of addiction.
Well, and again, that's why you wrote the book. I'm really grateful that you've written the book, Freedom from Shame. Friends, I can't tell you how much I want you to get your hands on a copy of this book. It's really, really needed, and it's a roadmap to freedom. And maybe even as we're talking, you're realizing, man, that's my issue. And if today you're realizing that, just know there's hope. There's hope in Jesus. 877-548-3675. Let's go to Christine, who's listening in Tennessee. Christine, thank you so much for calling listening to Equip. What's your comment and prayer request?
Can you hear me all right, Chris?
We can.
Not working right.
We can. Thank you, Christine. We can hear you well. So what's your comment today?
Thank you. Well, first of all, I want to make a comment to Dr. Chance. I bought his book, Healing Depression for Life. One of the best things I ever did.
Oh, praise God.
Good.
My mom, from the time I was young, mentally, I wouldn't call it shame. Well, I guess it would call it shame. I was the oldest, so I had to take care of everybody, and I never did anything right, and I wasn't going to amount to anything, and why wasn't I smart like my brother and sister? And why did I end up doing this, and why did I end up doing that? And, you know, for like 50-some years, I'm still carrying that around in my head.
Wow.
That's led to such depression. Let me just say,
Christine, first off, I'm so grateful for you calling. I'm glad you got Dr. Jance's previous book. But one of the things we want to do for you today is to be a blessing to you. And so after Dr. Jance responds, you stay on the line. We're going to get you a complimentary copy of Freedom from Shame, because we want you to experience freedom and healing from the shame that you've lived with now, Dr. Jance, for 50 years, she says.
Yes, and you really described, Christine, just how powerful these messages can be. And we do. We carry them around for the longest time. But one of the things we need to begin to do also is just to double check. Have I forgiven, with the Lord's help, have I forgiven what was done to me in the past? I don't want to carry this anymore. And that's just something to really be aware of and to ask yourself, okay, in prayer, Lord, I just want to be cleansed from this. Have I forgiven, or am I still carrying around resentments, or am I still embittered in any way? Now, the next step I'm going to suggest would be, I have to renew my mind with what's true.
Mm.
What is true? And maybe I need to pull out some old-fashioned 3x5 cards and write a verse down, and I'm going to rotate, but I'm going to always have that in my purse or pocket, and I'm going to pull that out a good half dozen times, seven times a day. I'm going to just say God's word out loud. What is the truth? For God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Okay, Lord, I've got a sound mind. You promised that. And just reminding yourself of the truth. That's just an example.
Wow, what a great bit of advice and great counsel. Christine, you stay on the line. Our producer is going to get your information so that we can get you a copy of Dr. Jance's book. And, Father, we do pray for our dear sister Christine that she would know your grace, that she would know freedom in Christ. And we are reminded of what you said in your word, Lord, that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Help her to know freedom. Help her to know that she belongs to you. And she is deeply and forever loved. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before we go back to the phone lines, Dr. Jance, I just want to say that this book, as you stated, is not large, and that's on purpose. That's intentional. So you can get a lot in these 100 pages or so. One of the things that you get when you read the book is a definition of self-compassion. Before I take the next call, what is that? What is self-compassion?
Well, we probably have the opposite, which would be self-criticalness or a critical spirit. When we've been wounded, and remember, shame's going to come because we've been wounded. We've just been terribly hurt and wounded. So, and then we can become really critical of ourselves and then other people. We do kind of develop this spirit of criticism about everything and everyone, including ourselves. But self-compassion says, okay, I understand. I was wounded deeply. I was a victim of abuse, maybe emotional abuse, and I need to give myself some understanding that I did. I handled it at best. I knew how. And so looking at it, I'm going to say looking at it a little more with the compassionate eyes of Christ, some compassion for what you've been through versus criticism.
Yeah, sometimes shame gets you stuck, and today we want you to be able to experience progress again, to move forward. Let's go to Ann, who's listening in Florida. Ann, thank you so much for listening to Equip. What's your comment today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have been going to church for a while and thought that I've been questioning my salvation a lot just from things that I've been reading in the Word. It started, God brought me to working on forgiveness, and I was doing a study on that, and he brought me to the story of the man at the pool, and he showed me that I still was blaming, you know, people from my past, and has been walking me through that. And then he brought me recently, I was in a very, very bad spot and very depressed, and didn't know where to read my Bible, so I went back to the beginning, and he brought me to the story of Cain and Abel, and I just felt really convicted about, you know, how Cain had handled everything, and just saw myself in that, and it's just led me ever since then to really question my salvation. And
let me speak to that.
Hard time.
And if you wouldn't mind, let me just speak to that. You know, so often the Bible reminds us that while we read Scripture, it's so important that we have teachers who can help us to properly make sure that we are properly interpreting what we're reading. You know, the Word of God certainly does produce within our hearts conviction. I read earlier a passage of Scripture that I would love for you to read, and that is 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. I'm going to give you a few verses to go to, but 2 Corinthians 7 and 10, you know you're reading the Bible correctly when there's conviction that leads to repentance, this change of heart, with no regret. In other words, God's Word doesn't come to make us feel more insecure about His love for us. His Word comes to, yes, convict us if we're off track, to say this is where you need to get back on track. But it comes to give us what Saints of old used to sing in that song, blessed assurance. That's what God's Word is coming to do. There's another scripture I referenced earlier, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, that Christ has not come to condemn us either. So to hear you, it's clear to me that God is at work in your life. He's not come to make you question your salvation, but maybe he has come to expose some areas that need to be changed and need to be addressed in your life. So have this assurance that Jesus loves you. Have this assurance that you are his while you work on those things that he's inviting you to address and change in your life so that you can live more faithfully for him and experience his blessing. Dr. Jans, anything you want to add?
Well, I love the scriptures and renewing our mind. And I think Anne is, she is so on the right track. I think, too, we just also want to pray and ask the Lord, give us wisdom or discernment. Is there anything, Father God, that I'm missing that I should be paying attention to? And just having a really open spirit about it all. is so important. Prayer is a part and identifying, Lord, show me the missing pieces to the puzzle. What still needs attention? Give me the wisdom for that.
Yeah, and while we're doing that, on any given day, I can feel terrible about Chris Brooks. I can, because I've blown it in so many ways. But that's why our salvation is based off of what he's done, not what we've done, but what he's done. Remember, salvation is by faith, not by works, so that no one can boast. So our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus's blood and righteousness. So make sure that you're trusting in him. Father, thank you for Anne. Bless her, we pray. In Jesus' name, give her freedom from shame. Amen and amen. Hey, Anne, you stay on the line. We're going to get you a copy of Freedom from Shame by Dr. Gregory Janz. The rest of you, I want to encourage you, go to our website, equipradio.org. Get your copy today. Don't go anywhere. Much more to come next up on Equip with Chris Brooks. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Can I ask you to do me a favor? Today, I'm asking for you to consider supporting the program. The way that it works is that every month we have a budgeted goal that we need to hit in order to make sure that we have a testimony, not only a spiritual impact, but fiscal responsibility as well. We want to have a testimony of good stewardship. And I'm grateful that this program has had a great testimony of good stewardship. And in large part, it's because of the outpouring of God's grace expressed through your generosity each and every month. Now, the way that it works is that typically we kind of track with the days of the month. And so once we're halfway through the month, we like to be about halfway to our goal. And as of today, this week, we're about halfway through the month, and yet we're only about 26% of our goal. And so we still are about $3,000 away from our goal for this month, our budgeted goal for this month. Now, I don't expect that one person would be able to satisfy all of that. If God has blessed you that way, man, what a great investment that could be on the other side of your investment into this ministry. I promise you the gospel is going to be proclaimed and people are going to know freedom in Christ. But I also recognize that it's each one of us doing our part that makes it happen. So today, could you consider giving a gift, maybe a $50 gift, maybe a $100 gift or more, whatever your best is all I would ask. And if you could pray for us and the team, that would be awesome. I want to give you the number of the call to support the program. It's 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. And you know, maybe you give because you've been blessed by the program. But you know, another group of people that give is some that are disconnected from the local church. And sometimes that happens in spite of our desires. We get disconnected from the local church. Maybe you move to a new city, or maybe you're just in search for a new church. And God has blessed you financially, and you just haven't had a place to give to express your appreciation to God and acknowledge that he's the provider and giver of all things. Well, maybe you during that time have been fed through the program. You've been spiritually and richly encouraged by our guests and resources and studying God's word. If that's the case, I would encourage you to remember we all should be giving. We all should be generous to the Lord. Every single one of us has him to thank for our blessing. So again, I encourage you, call today, 888-644-4144, or if it's easier, go to equipradio.org. Dr. Gregory Janz is my guest. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Dr. Janz, Christine is listening in Chicago. Christine, thank you so much for listening to Equip. What's your question for Dr. Janz?
Yes, thank you for your program, Chris. My question is, do you have any advice with healthy boundaries for an adult child to be able to have a relationship with a parent that still continues to shame?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. And we're going to get you a copy of the book as well. Dr. Janz?
Absolutely. So suggestions for adult kids where we need to have some boundaries, where are they maybe trying to misuse us, wanting money, or Tell me a little bit about the situation.
Well, there's more than one child in the family, and there's favoritism, and it's putting people against each other, and some are great and some are not that great, and it's really well known which ones are which.
Manipulation and shame, it sounds like.
Yes.
Yes. So, first of all, the first thing we have to do is be aware of what's going on. So, awareness, and you, it sounds like you are, and that's why you called, because you can see what's going on and that it's unhealthy. The other is, what are my even personal boundaries as it relates to these the kids? And that means I refuse to participate in anything that's unhealthy or harmful to another person. I'm not going to participate in it. Sometimes this means I'm just withdrawing from the communication. Sometimes it means I'm not adding to the communication. But I'm pulling back immediately when I see that it's unhealthy. And sometimes if I'm being manipulated, I have to even say, you know, I'm sorry, this is not going to work out for me, where you're practicing those boundaries. I don't know the exact situation, but you said the word favoritism, which is so, so destructive when that exists.
Yeah, and you know, I just want to pray for you, Christine, because the Bible is clear that serving our parents is an honorable thing. I think, Dr. Jantz, you and I would agree that having that opportunity to give back to your parents is a blessing. They invested so much into us. But yet, you also do have to have boundaries. And I think it's okay to say to a mother or a father, I love you, I want to help you, but I can't let you continue to emotionally manipulate me or to make me feel shame about who I am. So I'm happy to help, but I'm going to have to ask you not to do that, or I'll have to limit the amount of time that I'm here to help you and support you. I'm going to always love you, but I can't let you manipulate me. There's so many answers that are in this wonderful book, Freedom from Shame. And so, Christine, one of the things we're going to do for you is we're going to get you a copy. So you stay on the line. Our producer will get you a copy. And as always, I want to pray. Father, I do pray for Christine. You say honor your mother and your father. But yet you know, Lord, in a fallen world, how difficult that is. So I pray that you would give our dear sister grace, that you would pour out your love, and that you would heal even the tensions, hurts, and wounds that maybe exist between her and her parents. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would bless. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You talk about in the book how there is this really sense that, man, shame is constantly telling me a story. I love what you say in the back of your book. The good news is that healing is possible. In this book, Freedom from Shame, you say you'll learn the skills needed to be free from this most toxic emotion. So let's just talk about some of those skills. What would you say would be the first step in getting freedom?
Well, one of it is I need to maybe be very prayerful and ask, Lord Jesus, show me those things that maybe I haven't dealt with or still need to be dealt with in my life. And maybe you're going to create a journal, and you're going to just be really prayerful over the course of a week and just make some notes. And another way of approaching this is, do I still have some hurt from the past that are still painful memories that are maybe affecting me today? And just spend, you know, the next week making some notes just once a day and just being very prayerful. So we want to ask God's help in identifying any loose ends, you might say, that are from the past that could be entering into my present life.
Now,
that's
you talked
important to do.
You talked earlier about this changing the script, if you will. Can you just revisit that and talk about how we do that?
Yes. Changing the script means I'm going to live by God's truth versus the script that is lies from the past as a result of being injured, maybe emotionally. So I've been telling myself lies. Rewriting the script means, okay, God's word is true. I do have a future and a hope. It is promised to me. Hope comes when I feel a sense of a plan. God has a plan for you. And let's look, do I have any areas? Because the next step is, in changing the script is, and I've mentioned this before, but do I have any areas of unforgiveness that are there? Do I have any residue of bitterness or resentment that's taken a stronghold in my life? So maybe I've got to figure out that piece because that's the poison, if you will. That's the toxic part that keeps fueling the shame. You see, I've got to look at, maybe it's self-forgiveness. Maybe there's something you did or you feel like I could never, ever forgive myself for this.
Yes.
And that needs to be addressed.
You know, Dr. Gregory, we have all heard the statement, hurting people hurt people. And I think that's one way of describing what often happens with shame. You say in your book that those of us who maybe were shamed in childhood often become shamers ourselves. What do you mean by that, and how do we avoid that from happening?
Yeah. One of the things that we also need to look at is who and what are the relationships in our life? Are we inviting continued unhealthy people into our life? Are we allowing ourselves to be manipulated and controlled? Do we have more toxic people in our life than healthy people? A lot of times if we've been struggling with shame, you have to look around and go, oh, who am I really allowing? Maybe I'm repeating some patterns in relationships. So I want you to do a relationship analysis. Now, how do you feel when you're around certain people? Do you feel empowered, loved, believed in, accepted? Or are the people in your life really reinforcing old hurtful messages? That's one piece. I've got to do a relationship analysis a little bit.
Yeah, and we have to do our own honest evaluation while at the same time, sounds like we need to invite in some trusted people into our lives who can tell us maybe if we've become the shamer. This is such a rich conversation, so important. That's why, friends, I want to encourage you, get the book Freedom from Shame. All right, we're going to take our last break of the day. We're going to come back, land this plane in the heart of the gospel, I promise. Dr. Gregory Jantz is writing a phenomenal book, Freedom from Shame. As I mentioned, as we go to break, go to our website, equipradio.org. There you can support the program. We're about 26% towards our goal. Thank you. Praise God for his grace and provision. Still about $3,000 to go. So if you could be so kind to give your best gift now. The phone number, 888-644-4144, or go to equipradio.org. If you want to read the Bible for all it's worth, it's helpful to have an experienced guide with you. Bible teacher Dr. Jim Coakley has written a book that will bring your scripture study to life. It's called 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible, and I highly recommend it for you if you want to understand and apply the Bible for yourself. Get your copy with a gift of any amount to Equip. Simply call 888-644-4144 or visit equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Today, our hope has been that you would find freedom from shame. Dr. Jantz, Gregory Jantz, has written a great book with that title, and I would love for you to get your copy at equipradio.org. Find out how to order there. Dr. Jantz, we're getting a lot of calls, and I want to summarize some of these questions because I'm seeing some repeat questions. So if you wouldn't mind, this will be kind of rapid fire round. I'll throw out a few questions. You do your best to give us some brief, succinct answers. Let's talk about those who feel shame because they're struggling with mental illness. What do you say to those who are struggling with some diagnosed mental illness and they feel shame about it?
Well, I'm going to say that our country is in a mental health crisis and epidemic. You are not alone. When I say epidemic, we've never seen the number one diagnosis in our country right now is anxiety. Anxiety. So you're not alone. We're all walking through this together. So don't be afraid if you've had a mental health period of time where you go, oh, they gave me a diagnosis. You know, that's okay. It's not your label. It's not who you are. And God still has good plans for you. And let's go through this and let's create good. And you'll probably be a great instrument of encouraging and helping others in the future. So this is
such
very
a good
common
word.
Right now.
Yeah, such a good word. You're not alone. You're not alone. Secondly, in marriage, what do you do when you got a spouse who continues to shame you? You don't want to leave them. You're a Christian. You don't want to get a divorce, but yet they make you feel inadequate. They constantly are berating you or saying things that put you down. What do you do in that moment?
And sometimes that's about power and control. And so I may need to get some good, wise Christian counsel and counseling on just how to have strategies to deal with this. I may need to get help myself and then at some point hopefully invite the spouse in so we can work on issues together. This is very difficult if one person is, let's say, the one that's powerful and controlling, and there's lots of put downs, and what we call that, we call that emotional abuse. So one of the resources that I have authored is Healing the Scars of Emotional Abuse, because this is pretty prevalent.
Well, there goes another book, another great resource. I told you guys in the introduction, Dr. Jans has written 40 books, so odds are there is a resource that he has written with your name on it. All right, two more questions. Let's go to the next one. How does gratitude help us with experiencing freedom from shame?
I love gratitude. That's such a precious question. Gratitude produces optimism. And optimism means I have hope for my future. And when we are full of shame or we're being put down, we tend not to have gratitude. And if I can tell you that I've had experience with clients and folks who they've started a gratitude journal, and every day they're writing a few things down and just putting themselves in a place prayerfully of gratitude that God is at work. Gratitude. We love being around grateful people, by the way. They're humble, they're teachable, they're truthful in relationships. So there's a lot of great byproduct of gratitude. It may seem impossible. You're like, there's nothing in my situation that I can have gratitude. Well, let's begin to see what God wants to do with gratitude in your life. It could be really encouraging.
There you go. Make a gratitude journal. Maybe get some post-it notes and do a wall of gratitude in your house. And every day, some point in the day, write down one, two things you're grateful for and just post it on the wall. Pretty soon that wall will be full of post-it notes and you'll be reminded of the everyday goodness of God. All right, Dr. Jans, there's been several people who have called in struggling to forgive themselves. I know I went through this when our oldest son passed away. Quite some time, and I'm grateful for the grief counselor that I've had, but for quite some time, it was, it was a lot of shame around, I should have been there. I should have been able to prevent this from happening, and everyone, for different reasons, has different things in our past that maybe we struggle to forgive ourselves of. What do you say to that person?
Yes, I say it's necessary to really work on this. Okay, and forgiving yourself you continue to make yourself, if you will, poisonous, that unforgiveness of yourself. It's not excusing yourself, but we need to put it in the right perspective. God has forgiven us, and there's a freedom there. And so with God's help, yes, you can forgive yourself. Yes, we all made mistakes in life, and some we really do regret. I can regret certain things that I did in my life, and, you know, that would be true for me, but I also need to forgive so I'm no longer punishing myself. I can choose, with God's help, to be set free.
I'm so glad you ended on that note. With God's help, this is why we need a Savior. This is why we need a relationship with Jesus. I want to say one final thing to Dr. Jantz. Thank you for writing this book. And parents, there are a lot of parents of adult children who have children that are now blaming them for everything, saying, "Mom, Dad, you messed me up when I was a kid. You blew it." And maybe thinking back on it, there are things you could have done better, but you did your best. And you got to deal with this. As Dr. Jan said, you can't allow yourself to live in the prison of shame forever. And so I just want to say to parents, get this book, Freedom from Shame. It is such a blessing. Dr. Jan, so on behalf of the many who have been blessed, I want to say thank you and happy 40th anniversary to us, to the Center, A Place for Hope, one of the best facilities in all the country. Thank you for the great work you're doing, Dr. Jantz.
Thank you. So good to be with you today.
Friends, the book is entitled Freedom from Shame. You can get your copy at equipradio.org. And I want to say thanks to Nathan for your wonderful gift from Indiana. Maybe you're listening today and you say, "Chris, this has been a blessing in my heart. It's been an encouragement." Don't assume that somebody else is going to help to underwrite this program. We need your help. And you know, sometimes when we can't do the whole amount, we think, "Well, I can't do the whole amount, so let me do nothing." No, it's each one of us doing our part that makes the difference. So do your best. Call the number 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144, or go to equipradio.org. Until we're together again next time, as always, remember, Equip with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.